Hello and welcome to the Product Breakfast Club podcast by AJ and Smart, where each episode we bring you a fresh and insightful chat between designer and co-founder of AJ and Smart, Jonathan Courtney, and Jake Knapp, the New York Times best-selling author of design process book Sprint. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Jake has set it so that John gets a little electric shock each time you do. If you're enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to like, share, or comment. We love hearing your feedback.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 5. And let's jump straight into it. It's going to be a very short episode because Jake needs to get back to a little conference known as the first ever Sprint conference hosted by Google.
Yeah, Google's putting on the Sprint conference, and I kind of found out about it not long before, and there's all these people talking about design sprints, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool to have something like that going on without being like super involved in it. So that's I'm cool. Excited.
It must be. I mean, actually, what's really, really interesting to me is that when your book came out like 2 years ago-ish, kind of something like that.
It came out 100 years ago.
1,000 years prior.
As you were saying, I invented the design industry.
You did. That is true. So 100
no,
years
you're
ago.
Right. No, it came out in March of 2016. So by the time people are listening to this podcast.
7 years. It'll be 7 years ago. Yeah. Okay. So what's really interesting to me is that, so we started doing design sprints maybe 6 months before the book came out. Obviously we were just calling whatever we were doing design sprints because we didn't know what exercises you were using. But we were already on board. And now, and we've spent...
There were blog posts, by the way. You could have just run a Google search.
I was reading your blog post, but they weren't very... They didn't have all the exercises in them.
There
was like
true.
Node and Vote, and then I had to extrapolate that out to a very expensive design service that we were offering. So Node and Vote multiplied by 5 days. So the interesting thing is that for the last, I would say up until August this year, we have had to, I mean, I'm one of the main people selling at AJ and Smart, so this is something I'm directly involved in. I've been explaining what the design sprint is and why people should use it and why it's interesting. And it's we've been in rooms where I'll give a workshop and it's the first time people are hearing about the design sprint. And even in September, we were doing workshops where it was the first time people were hearing about design sprints. I feel like there was almost like a tipping point maybe in October, where now when I open up LinkedIn or open up Facebook or open up Twitter or open up Instagram or open up Snapchat or open, okay, that's all of them. Okay, YouTube. I'm starting to hear a lot more about it. And today, one of my colleagues posted a Google trend search on Slack, and it does seem to have taken off. Like compared to when the book came out, which was, you know, 1.5 years ago, today, like literally today, late November, the sprint feels like it finally is after. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell just happened, but a lot of people are talking about it right now.
I think one thing that's kind of, it should have been obvious when we were working on the book, but I didn't really think about it, is that it takes a long time from somebody maybe getting the book, like hearing about it, reading the book, to actually doing a sprint, because you're not going to stop what you're doing right now today and run a sprint, most likely, unless you're at a startup and you're just beginning something. But most people are going to have to wait for the right project. They're going to have to convince their team or that, you know, whatever. And so I think part of the slow viral spread, if that's what it is that it's just taking people a while to do a sprint. But then when they do, it works, right? So I keep hearing back from people like, we did it. It worked. It's great. If we're going to do it again. But I think it's not like you get, you know, the life-changing magic of tidying up. I think that spread really fast because people were like, I could start folding my socks instead of
right now
curling them into balls, like right now.
Yeah.
I can do that right now. And they did it.
So. I read that book. I immediately did everything that she said. So I started rolling up my t-shirts so you could see them when you pull out everything. Yeah. I threw away like 10 kg of underwear. I don't even know why I had that. You very quickly revert back to the way you were doing it, though. And, like with the Marie Kondo stuff, I mean, it took me 2 weeks.
And then you feel like even more guilty.
Oh my God.
I look at my closet now and I'm like, just hang my head in shame.
Marie
Kondo would just scream at me if she was in here.
I'm a pig person. Yeah, it's bad. But it's really, it is interesting now also that Google is, you know, one thing I found interesting, right? This year in March, I was at the Google campus and I was talking to some designers there. And they asked me what I was doing in town. And I was saying I was doing some design sprints with some clients in the area. And they were like, what's a design sprint? Yeah. I was like, wait a second, this is Google. Isn't this the thing that you got? What's going on here? It's weird. But now, I mean, today it's like everywhere. I mean, they're doing sprints. They're onboarding people into Google with sprints, as long as I've heard. And it's now also kind of being taken up there.
But it's also one of those things where it can feel like you talk to a few people and it seems like everybody knows what it is. And then lots of people have no idea. And
of course.
Like it's not Taylor Swift level saturation with people's consciousness.
Oh, I think it is. It's full on T Swift or Tay Tay. See, I know as a millennial, I know it's Tay Tay. So actually, then let's jump into the one and only topic for this week, because we'll keep it nice and short. And this, by the way, Jake, is for real. I know we said this last week, but this is for real. The last episode we're going to record before we go live.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what that means in terms of significance, but
I know people who are listening should know that we're still dialing in the audio quality.
Yeah.
Right? This is still prototype.
Absolutely. Mode. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to probably we're just going to see how people react to this when it's launched, and if people like it and if people listen to it and if people subscribe, we'll probably buy some better mics. Potentially.
If nobody listens and nobody subscribes, we're going to be like, what podcast? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I do not know what a podcast is, but I think we should just keep doing it anyway, right? Just to waste your time because you've nothing to do, like New York Times bestselling authors. What do you people even do? All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it, Jake. So this is the time when us having a producer would be really cool for the YouTube version of this, because we could bring the tweets up on screen like Joe Rogan does it. But I had a lot of topics for this week, but I want to actually get into a reactive state and instead of taking action. I want to get into a reactive state and talk about a tweet.
This is great. This is like what you would see on Fox News in the United States. Like, this is like, let's react to real-time tweets.
Let's talk about a tweet from a few hours ago. Jake, how about this? Okay, so it's a tweet from Jason Fried. So Jason Fried is the CEO of Basecamp, previously 37 Signals. He wrote the book Rework and the other one, Remote.
And he also wrote a book called Getting Real, which was something that they published online back in like the early 2000s. I read that thing when I was working at Microsoft and I was like, holy smokes. It just blew my mind. It was like a totally different way of thinking about building products. Yeah. So Jason Fried, huge hero of mine, and like very formative in the way I thought about like starting to think about like, whoa, the way we're doing projects here doesn't totally make sense. And like just formative stuff. The guy's awesome.
Same here. I think that I read WeWork the first or second week that I started AJ and Smart, and it changed everything I thought about building products, and it also changed everything. It influenced everything that happened over the next 6 years of building the company. That's why we went bankrupt, by the way. No, I'm not kidding. So Jason, we love Jason, right? Okay, we get it, all right? We'll get over it. So let's read his tweet. So his tweet says, you can only iterate on something after it's been released. Prior to release, you're just making the thing. Even if you change it, you're just making it. Iterating is when you change and improve after it's out. So if you want to iterate, ship. So basically Jason is saying that holding back a product and iterating on it and trying to improve it before you put it on the market and see what the user reaction is, the real user reaction is essentially maybe a waste of time. That's what he's saying here.
If you take the tweet at face value, if you only read that tweet, if you took it at face value,
yeah,
it's like dictionary.com. It's a Merriam-Webster tweet. He's defining the word iterate for us. And he's saying iterate is something that in his lexicon comes after shipping. But you're right. The subtext, the intent is clear. Iterating, he's saying iterating is valuable. You can't do it before you ship. So
right. And
a lot of responses on that tweet.
Oh, yes. A lot of response. A lot of very angry people on the internet. I don't know if you actually knew about this.
I didn't know that. I thought people were pretty chill on the internet.
No. So, I mean, one thing that you can definitely say, and I can definitely testify to this with a couple of the articles that I've written, people get very defensive if you talk about something that you don't necessarily believe in. And now, by the way, myself and Jake haven't not told you yet whether we agree with this, but just looking at some of the responses here, people are, let's just say, in Jake's non-swearing language, people are pissed. So, so let's have a look here. The next thing he said is testing gives you simulated answers. Shipping gives you real answers. And blah, 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 blah. I posted something as well. It's not very interesting. But people started answering things like, well, essentially what the argument against this is, that people are obviously saying, you know, you can iterate before you bring something out, and it's actually irresponsible to bring something out before iterating on it, and that you obviously need to test and test and test and perfect it and perfect the craft and make sure it's a perfect product before you bring it out. And a couple of people who are maybe not too... I'm not going to say it. There is a couple of people who made the argument that you wouldn't do this for a plane. So... maybe it's wrong. You're wrong, Jason, because you'd want to test a plane before flying it for the first time. But it's not a great analogy. So the reason I bring this up is because I think it brings up the classic, and two episodes ago we talked about user research, but this is maybe even a different thing where we're talking about getting the feedback after you've launched it and being a little bit almost like careless, you could say, compared to what designers want to do with a product. What do you think about it, Jake?
Yeah, well, there's a few lenses through which to look at this Jason Fried tweet and the ensuing commentary. And I was just kind of skimming through instead of listening to you talk right there.
I know, I rambled a bit.
And I think, okay, so first of all, like, imagine we're at the optometrist and they've got those different things, right? Lens one, lens two, lens three.
Okay.
All right. Lens one, Jason Fried saying... It's BS to test before you launch. It only matters once you launch. That's the only thing that matters. You should ship. All of this talk about testing beforehand, it's just you know, waste of time. Ship it. Is that what he's saying? Okay, maybe lens one is. Maybe he's saying that, and that's the way people are commenting on it. They're reacting to that stance. So let's look at that stance for a second.
Yeah.
First of all, I think that it's, you and I have seen a lot of sprints where we rapidly create a prototype, a realistic prototype, put it in front of customers and get reaction in a week. And I think you would agree that that's a really efficient use of time. If you spend a week and you get a team, like, it makes them make faster progress. They're much closer to shipping after that week than they were before, because they've thought through the problem in a deep way. They've gotten a super big head start on it. And we've also seen that quite often, probably like 80% of the time, 90% of the time, there are huge problems with their hunch, with their best bet about what they should ship. And we see those problems come up on Friday. And they're not just like questionable, like, oh, were they sort of reacting in this simulated environment? It's like obvious. You're just like, oh God, like, they just don't get it, or they don't care. They're like,
yeah.
So that stuff, like, if we're in the lens of Jason Fried is saying, don't test before you launch. Like, if that's the way people are commenting on it, if we take that lens, then we have to say, like, that does not match what we've seen. Like, it is a good idea to do a design sprint to test, but still staying in that lens, I also have to assume, like, I don't know that Jason Fried has ever done a design sprint. Like, when he's talking about this, he's not saying design sprints are bad.
No.
He's just saying, like,
he would never say that.
Testing and testing is bad, right?
Never.
What's that?
He would never say that, Jake. Jason would never say that.
I'm sure he would never say that.
I mean, yeah, he's definitely listening to this. So.
So, I think that it's, like, I would, if that's what he's saying, like, don't test, I would disagree, but I would say, but even then, I would say it's true that you can test things to death. You can test and test and test and end up, like, just wasting your time. And you know, like, you, at some point, you have to have a hunch and you have to go. But the thing about the way it's done in business as usual is that, you know, there is a lot of wasted time. People can spend a lot of time trying to get their hunch perfect, all this stuff. With a sprint, you, I think, are getting the best of both worlds. You have a strong opinionated hunch. You get some reactions to it really fast. You course correct, and then you're actually that much closer to shipping. So I would disagree that testing isn't valuable if that's what he's saying, but I don't think he's talking about design sprints. Maybe he is, but I don't think he is. And if he is, he's making a mistake because he doesn't know how they work. So that's lens one. Lens two, though, is Jason Fried is great at provoking people. And he's a master of this. Like, in the way he writes, part of what's so compelling about it is that he always picks a fight. And he's very, I think he doesn't say he does this with his writing necessarily, but he's very upfront about it as a philosophy for building products.
Yeah.
So he talks a lot in Getting Real about, you know, like having an enemy for product. You should have an enemy. There should be a thing that you are going after, and you are not going to do it that way. You're sort of just like counter that thing, that way of working. And he does this in every post with some of the reasons why his posts and his tweets are so compelling, why people comment on them so much, is because he's always picking a fight. And pick a fight is the philosophy he talks about in Getting Real. Picking a fight is what he's doing here. And he's phrased this thing that's actually not that controversial in a very, like, he's picking a fight with the internet. He's saying, like, come on, I know I'm going to pull you people out. Just in the same way that you title your post, "User Research is Overrated," or I wrote a post called "Prototypes are a Waste of Time." And we believe those things, but we also, like, wrote them in a way to pick a fight. And when you do that, and I usually don't do it because I don't enjoy the anger and the conflict that ensues.
Yeah.
But that's also the way he operates. It's very effective. So he's kind of done that here too. But there's a third lens, and then my monologue will stop after I introduce the third lens.
It's been a while.
As the optometrist moves over the third lens.
Still in there.
Tweet. It is. Jason Fried is very good at product. He is a guy who's been doing product for, 20 years at least. He's got great instincts. He's super smart. He's got a ton of experience. I would go with Jason Fried's hunch, and I would be ready to launch and ship that product without testing it, because the guy's so freaking smart and experienced. But when you tell people, like, there's a little bit of danger in whatever he's doing, whether it's lens one or lens two, there's a little bit of danger in it because Jason Fried is so good at it. And there's like thousands of people reading his tweets and being like, oh, good, I just have the blank check I need to not listen to not validate my hunch. Now, like, it's back to business as usual. We'll ship, we'll wait and get real world data.
Right.
And there's a lot of dead bodies on that road. And so what he might not be thinking about maybe is all of the folks who are at business as usual. They're just marching and shipping and trying to make it perfect on their hunch. And I mean, you and I have seen how that goes. A lot of the time that those products fail. Companies go out of business, people lose their jobs, like, bad stuff happens. So it's a little risky, I think, being like just sort of playing with that idea because of how smart he is, how compelling he is, and how it's true for him. I don't think it's true for everybody.
Yeah. I think there's a middle ground in between this, you know, you use your hunch and you go with it, and then you see how it reacts on the market, and then you just kind of react to it and you iterate based on that to get it to the point that the user actually wants. I guess that would be the one extreme where you're so good at products, or you're so reliant on your hunch, or you trust your hunch so much that you're willing to go with it. But then there's the other side, and this is the side that I actually see more often, and I think it's more damaging, And this is the side where people, especially design teams, hold their product back way too long, and they get way too precious about it.
Yep.
And they start thinking about the little buttons, and they start to, oh, and you know what happens? And a trend changes in the industry, and oh, everything's flat now. So now we have to redesign it before we get it out. And oh, the users won't like this. And a product ends up being stuck in stasis for 6 to 8 to 10 months before it gets out there. And then it gets out there and it fails. And they've wasted all that time. And I think that obviously the having a sprint at the start helps to make sure that at least the you're validating the whether the product has a fit and whether it's worth making. But even after a sprint, I've seen products getting locked in a holding pattern of people being too perfectionist and too careful and testing too often and really taking every little piece of feedback and, you know, oh, I don't like how this hamburger menu looks. Okay, we'll change it then because this one person said it. And I think there is a middle ground there, right? I think there needs to be almost like a point where it's good enough to go out and you already, maybe it's like a percentage where you say, I'm 50% sure that this is good enough to go out on the market. Let's do it. Because you know you always have to change a product based on market reaction. I do not know a product that went out there and was perfect from day one. You always, always have to... Like, one thing he says that's really true is all the testing you do internally, these are simulated results. It's not really what's going to happen on the market. Because even if you do quantitative testing on a small closed beta, when you open it up to the market and really open it up to the public, sometimes even there you get very different results because you're not getting your early adopters in there and you're just getting normal people using it. So I think that what I find entertaining about this Twitter situation here is that people get very, very angry, especially, I mean, it's obviously the people who get angry are the people who love to hold the products back as long as possible. And if you look at the profiles of these people, of course, they're often people working at agencies, not actually people working at like Facebook or Google who have deadlines and have to release things. It's people who are freelance designers or in user research, and they don't believe that anything that threatens the product process getting shorter is a direct attack on them. And I think that people like this are a danger to, you know, a standard product team within a company who has to get things done. And of course, a stance like Jason's, which is just like plop everything out and you'll see what happens, is also dangerous. So, yeah, what I would say is teams shouldn't get too precious and they should be a little bit more throwaway with their product process or with their product design. But at the same time, validating some things internally before getting it out there is kind of important.
What I almost like the most about Jason Fried, because I don't always like, I tend to more often agree with things he talks about.
Same.
But I don't always, which is fun. It's fun to actually like listen to somebody who's super intelligent. He's such a good writer and so well thought through when he, you know, makes his case. But it's fun to not always agree with him, right? And to sometimes it like he annoys me a little bit, which is great. It's like that's the most fun. I think that like one of the coolest things about this tweet or some of the other things that he writes is that he's provoking a discussion.
Yeah,
right. We're having like a discussion. Hopefully, in the best case, this provokes kind of a discussion. It makes people think about the way they're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it makes someone like me, you know, you and me or people who are doing design sprints think like, are we taking this too far? Like, are we doing too many designs? Are we testing too much? At some point, we need to just go. We need to not make it perfect. And, you know, of course, it's all like people are only paying attention to it. We'll only pay attention to it if you prod at them, if you poke at them a little bit. But it's actually really interesting to read his tweets in the thread because, you know, you read the first one. He's really just like defining, here's what iterate means to me.
Yeah.
If you want to iterate ship, he's nudging towards ship, but it's not super, super like jerky the way he wrote it. Although I think he knew how people would react to it. And then he says, testing gives you simulated answers. Shipping gives you real answers. Yeah, like he's totally right about that. I don't think we would disagree with that at all. And then somebody says, what about not releasing but having a usability test, then addressing the discovered issues and iterating over it? And he says, personally, I don't believe in that approach. I believe in building it as best you can and shipping it. until people use it for real in their own environment to make their own answers at their own volition, you just don't have real answers. Real use equals real answers. And that's another case where I think you and I would agree with that, but I don't know if you agree with me. I totally agree with that, but I also think you'd be making a mistake if you didn't run the test first.
Yes.
If you're not Jason Fried.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're not one of these people who has brilliant product judgment. And that's where, you know, that's the point where it starts to, I think, hopefully prod people to think, are we doing that too much? But don't stop just because Jason said to. You're probably not Jason Fried.
Yeah. And I think that I agree with you that it might provoke some less experienced people to just be like, fuck y'all, I'm shipping this like random big green button in the center of the screen because I feel like it's going to work and we'll fix it later. But yeah, I mean, it is about taking it with a pinch of salt. I just find it super amusing to watch people freaking out on Twitter and designers taking themselves a little bit too seriously and not being able to just reply and say, well, that is true, but no, it's got to be, duh, Jason, you don't know anything. You're ruining the industry, Jason. I mean, it's the same thing with the design sprint. I mean, every time I open up Twitter, someone's just like crying about the design sprint and how it sucks and how it's like going to ruin everything. And I just love it. It will. Look, let's just be serious here. The design sprint is going to ruin everything. You started the industry and you're going to end the industry with the sprint. Yeah, great. So you know what? That's it. That's the episode.
That's the whole episode?
That is the whole episode. 26 minutes to make up for the almost 1.5 hours of the previous episodes.
We only talked about Jason Fried's tweet.
Yeah. I was thinking that we keep this one nice and sweet.
Okay. All right.
Sweet.
All right. Well, I mean, thanks for listening.
Sweet everybody. As a donut. So Jason, I was going to say, so Jake, where can people find you?
We should
you?
Say something to Jason because I'm sure he's no doubt listening to this over and over again.
We should definitely Jason, tag him.
Jason, we love you. We think you're the best.
Jason. And,
you can come on our weird podcast anytime and we can debate this on the podcast. It'd be so fun.
Jason.
Jason, come on.
I'm going to tag him in this and he's going to put out a restraining order on us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Marquez fam.
But I think it would be very interesting. The only thing, all right, the only problem with getting Jason on the show and just listen, like just to think about this. How can we record three people at the same time? Are you crazy?
We
impossible.
Can't even record two.
We can't even get two done.
Plus, people might be listening to this podcast. There's a chance that somebody listening to this podcast thinks you and I know what we're talking about. And then if you throw Jason Fried into the mix, you and I are going to look like idiots.
I don't think so, man.
And no one will ever listen after that.
I think I can take him. I think I could take Jason.
Yeah?
All right. Let's take him out.
I might take his side. I mean, he might turn me during the conversation and I'll be like,
oh.
Jonathan, shut up.
Oh, no.
Let Jason finish talking.
Oh, so you
Stop
guys are going to
testing.
Oh.
It could happen.
That's
he's
bad.
He's really smart and he's a very compelling arguer, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever listened to an interview with him on a podcast and he seems like a really nice guy too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he'll dismantle us.
I think the problem with us is that, so I'm not a nice guy,
One of the
right?
problems with us.
One
maybe.
Of the problems. There's, I'm not a nice many. Guy. And you wrote this really, really sad book called Sprint. And Jason, he's just like, after doing so many good things, he's got this lovely company, which is like the best place to work in the world and all of this kind of thing. So we need to bring him down a few steps before we bring him on, you know, like in the pre-intro, which he doesn't hear. We say some shit about him, which is totally not true, but makes him seem like we say that. After the recording, we say, so guys, I just want to just point out that before the interview happened, Jason demanded that we bring him, even though we're not even in the same location, we bring him a lactose-free bag of milk, which was very, very difficult, but we got it done, and then he threw it at me. And now, welcome Jason Fried. And I'll be covered in milk for the YouTube. I mean, I'll be covered in milk anyway, but now there'll be like a backstory.
That'll be a reason.
Yeah, there's a backstory now to why I was covered in milk in episode one. All right, I think that's. I think we're doing good. Where can people find you?
A few minutes too long.
We yeah. So actually, you know what? If you're listening to this, people, if you're listening to this, please tweet at Jason Fried and tell him we're talking about him on this podcast. In a good way, in a good way, because we want to get him on here. Yeah. And that would be a perfect way to do it, that people are, we're talking about Jason Fried's dirty tweet. That's also the name of this episode for sure. Jason Fried's dirty tweet. Oh my God. It's beautiful. All right, Jake, let's finish it up. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can go to jakeknapp.com or they can go to Twitter. I'm at Jake K on Twitter. I'm looking at all the sort of old fashioned internet things. What about you? You're more of a high tech guy. You got some fancy new stuff.
You can find me on Instagram at JIcecream, and you can also find me on Twitter at JIcecream, but I prefer Instagram, and that's where I do my daily vlogs, you know. I also, Jake, maybe this is going to be a little bit of a surprise to you, there is also now a website called productbreakfastclub.com where you can find every episode, information about myself and Jake, and eventually, if we ever get around to it, and if we get like a full-time producer, you'll have show notes and you'll have all that kind of stuff. But for now, it's just a dump of where you can. For now, actually, right now, as we speak, it is nothing, and there's just some empty.
But in the future, when people are listening, there'll be a thing. But if I go open my browser in real time,
you can get in there. You can actually get in there and see it. So productbreakfastclub.com, there you can find every episode and, you know, all the subscription stuff. And I think that was a nice little cute one. It was a cute one.
It was great. Yeah, we should stop talking so that it remains cute.
Remains cute. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Product Breakfast Club with Jake Knapp and Jonathan Courtney. You can check out past episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We have many more great discussions coming soon. Be sure to subscribe to stay up to date. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please like, share, and leave us a review. The one thing that would really blow our minds is a 5-star review. Wow, that would be really nice. This podcast is produced by Kit, Brittany, and Patrick for AJ and Smart.